The contents of the lab report are meant for educational purposes only. They're not meant to be misconstrued as medical diagnosis or treatment advice.
Today,
wow.
On the lab report, we have Josiah Bartz.
Best hair and functional medicine and the coolest guy we know.
That's how you're going to introduce him?
Well,
really? I mean, he's earned it.
The world of medicine can be challenging. Clinicians and patients are always looking for more options, more effective treatments, and in the end, more answers. Functional and integrative medicine focuses on addressing root causes of disease. Here at Genova Diagnostics, we've watched this field evolve and grow for over 35 years. We've not only adapted, we've led. Join us as we talk about functional medicine, laboratory testing, and optimizing health. Welcome to the Lab Report. Hey, did you know that May is National Celiac Awareness Month?
I did not know that, but did you know that May is also National Hamburger Month? It needs its own month. So good. Hello!
Hi, Michael Chapman. How
Patty
are you today?
Patty Devers. I need to go get a hamburger.
Me too.
ASAP.
I know.
This is a podcast. It's called The Lab Report. It's brought to you by Genova Diagnostics. How are you, Patty?
Crushing it today. Awesome. How are you?
Awesome. I'm great. Thanks for asking.
Good.
And it's where we talk about things like specialty lab testing, integrative therapeutics, functional, integrative, and precision medicine.
Wow. You got all that out.
I sure did.
Well, if you
need
like
a hamburger.
If you like all those things that Michael just spit out,
yeah.
And perhaps it's your jam, maybe go to iTunes, Spotify, subscribe to the show, rate, review, leave us some stars, some reviews.
We like stars. Yum, yeah. Yum. And if you have additional feedback, you can send the feedback to podcast@gdx.net. That is our email address.
You can also follow us on social media at Genova Diagnostics.
Oh, yes.
All the platforms, yada, yada, yada.
All the socials.
But this brings up a question.
What's that?
Who in the world is in charge of naming these things like National Awareness of
They're
Months
out of control.
And Days?
They are.
Like, it's enough.
Absolutely out of control.
So
they
you're
need
with me.
To be stopped. I don't understand. I think we've got everything on here, like on a particular day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because not only is May Celiac Awareness Month, it's also Arthritis Awareness Month, ALS Awareness, Better Hearing and Speech Month, Hepatitis Month. I mean, who's in charge of this?
Well, it's all today.
Okay.
I'll have you know is not only National Truffle Day.
Wow.
Which I mean, come
it
on.
It deserves a day.
So it's also not national, but international Harry Potter Day, which I'm right there with you, man.
Dude.
I mean. That does deserve J.K. Rowling. Maybe it's your birthday. Maybe it's not. You can have all the days as far as I'm concerned.
Here's my problem. Like, who's in charge of naming these? There's competition amongst them. Who's policing them? I wonder if there's like
there's obviously
a battle.
No policing happening here.
It's annoying.
There's no policing. Tomorrow is indeed National Lumpy Rug Day.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. It's like it's on here. It's,
what in the world?
It's also National Paranormal Day. Ooh, spooky.
Anyway. Well, back to what we're here for, actually, this little podcast. Right. And today we have one of our friends on.
Yeah, indeed. Josiah Bartz is absolutely one of our friends and compadres in the functional medicine industry and is doing a lot of fantastic work with helping support clinicians as they transition into functional medicine, as they build their career into functional medicine, and even into being an expert in functional medicine. Yeah, it's just awesome, and he's a great guy.
Yeah, and he happens to head something called a Lifestyle Matrix Resource Center,
right.
Which is where any new functional medicine clinician should be going to help with transitioning your practice. So we're excited to talk to him today.
No doubt. Let's bring him on without further ado. It's also a National Egg Month. Patty, this is a good one, right?
Because can't wait. I'm so excited.
I mean,
I know.
Okay, well, I'll just tell you. It's Josiah Bartz, who is a veteran of functional medicine industry or the functional medicine industry. And since 2006, he's been working alongside and serving clinicians in the integrative and functional medicine space. His focus has been primarily around helping practitioners who are transitioning into functional medicine by supporting them with implementation strategies and tools, including group visits to help them grow their practice and succeed in their businesses. He oversees a Lifestyle Matrix Resource Center, a company dedicated to helping healthcare professionals successfully implement lifestyle-based therapies in their practice. And with that,
welcome,
oh my goodness,
Josiah Bartz.
Hey, great to be here. Great to hang out with you guys. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Totally, totally. Well, we know you pretty well. Michael and I have known you for several years. And many of us know you as a staple in the industry, working the room at functional and integrative medicine conferences, helping clinicians new to this field. You're like the governor when we see you out and about. Mm. So first, Why did you choose to work in the realm of functional medicine, and how have you seen things evolve over your nearly 20 years in the biz?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think my start in the industry was maybe serendipitous or providential. I don't know, however you want to term it. But for me, you know, I knew I had always wanted to get into sales. And that was an area that, as a young person, I kind of knew that, you know, I loved building relationships. I knew sales would be a really, probably a good place for me to be, but I had no idea what to sell or what industry to get into to do this. And so I applied at a supplement manufacturer for a sales position. And it was kind of interesting because when I applied for that position, you know, they said, you know, you seem like a really great guy. You could probably do sales, but you have no sales background and you have no science background. And so we've got
details.
That's right. They said, we've got a spot in customer service for you, making $11, I think, and 30 cents an hour at that time. And so I was young and I was ready. You know, I was ready for anything. And I wanted to build a career, and I wanted to get a start somewhere. And so I got an opportunity. And so I took it, and I really just plugged away. I knew I wanted to get into sales eventually. And so I really studied and learned. And, you know, fortunately, the company that I was with, they do a really good job on training. And so I just soaked it up, and it was a whole new world that opened up to me. And I got really excited about the prospect of how medicine could be done in a different way, which was like totally, you know, I didn't even really know that medicine had a problem, to be honest with you. But when you really started to dig deep down, it was like, wow, our medical system is really not great. And there is a lot of opportunity here, you know, for a change. And I really bought into that vision, and I really bought into that idea that I could play a role in being part of that. So it's been interesting because I think the last 20 years when I got into things, you know, there were definitely practitioners doing this, but you have seen, you know, you guys know this, but you've seen huge growth in the last decade of physicians that are kind of moving into this world. And I think for the very reasons that, you know, I alluded to earlier, which is a lot of them got into medicine because they wanted to help people, and they really wanted to, and, you know, they really want to do good by, you know, the patients that they're serving. But the way the system is structured is not really conducive to that. It's just, it's about, you know, it's about just volume and, you know, limited time. And you just, there's not a whole lot you can do in a 10, 15 minute office visit to help people move the needle, especially with these, you know, low acuity chronic health problems that, you know, are growing exponentially. And so it's really been interesting for me. It's an area that I guess if you had asked me 20 years ago what I'd be doing in 20 years, it wouldn't necessarily be this. But it's one of those things where I got into it, I bought into it, and I invested, and this is where we're at. So it's a great time to be in this industry and in this field and working with doctors like you guys, because we're making a lot of progress in the field of medicine, and it's really cool.
Well, we're glad you're here, Josiah.
No doubt. Right. Well, and it's interesting because you're talking about, you know, sort of always wanting to know you wanted to go into sales. And my first thought was like, well, that's weird. That's because what I'm thinking is,
is that
the people who naturally kind of gravitate, I think, towards medicine aren't naturally salespeople.
Oh, yeah,
right. And when we're talking about a lot of the work that you do is actually helping people who are wanting to get into functional medicine, cross over, who I think there's a lot of trepidation sometime about that sort of sales component of building their own practice. And so my question here is, you know, are there some themes that you've noticed as a salesperson or even some just like quick tips that that these clinicians tend to not see as they're trying to cross over? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I guess before I answer that question, you know, I will say that as I got into this field, I seriously considered going to become a doctor. I really, I got that inspired where I was like, you know what? I think I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that time, you know, I had a little bit of insight from some people that were doctors. Mm-hmm. And I just asked them, I just said, hey, you know what? I love this. And I want to do this. I think, I mean, I love one-on-one relationship. I love building those relationships. You know, when I was in sales, you know, full time out in the field, I loved going into doctor's offices and mm-hmm. sitting down with them and just dialoguing mm-hmm. and getting into these conversations. And so, you know, I thought maybe I could do this. Maybe I could go out and help patients one-on-one and do this. And I had somebody, you know, say to me at that time who I was asking advice about that. He said, you know, do you think you can help? He said, why do you want to be a doctor? And I said, well, I want to help people. And he said to me, you know, he said, do you think you could help more people by helping doctors who help people?
Right.
Or do you think you could help more people just doing it one-on-one yourself? And so it kind of dawned on me in that moment that what we were doing, you know, by going in and helping practitioners and providing education and providing resources to them, by doing that, they were able to help their patients.
Yeah.
And I could see, you know, 20 providers in a week who are each seeing, you know, hundreds of patients. And so that was where the light bulb kind of, you know, went off for me at that time. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what, I think I'll stick to this. And because we're doing some really meaningful work that I think will translate really well. And it'll allow me to pursue what I ultimately want, which, you know, I want to help people. And that's, you know, kind of the goal. So I think to circle back to your question, Michael, you know, I think what we've seen over time is that there are a lot of practitioners. I mean, I looked at IFM, you know, the Institute for Functional Medicine, their member group, they had 2,200 physicians in their database mm-hmm. in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And their last update that they gave in 2016, they had just under 12,000 physicians in mm-hmm. their database.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can see a lot more practitioners that are kind of moving in this realm. And I think it's to what we discussed, which is like, you have a lot of doctors that get into medicine because they want to help people, but they realize like, I can't do this like this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just feel like it's a, you know, just, it's like a factory, you know, just getting people in, you know, mm-hmm. just enough time to tell them, hey, try to get some exercise, but I can't really give them a plan, eat better, but I can't really give them a plan. I'm just managing their medications and, you know, trying to help them as much as I can. But when I'm seeing 20, 25 patients a day, it's just not feasible to really get to the bottom of what's going on with these patients. And so I think that's really where it's that. And then I think you have functional medicine is really growing on the research side. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there is enough doctors that came through, you know, over the last few decades that have kind of, you know, they've paved the way. You know, I mean, there was a lot of mavericks in the beginning. I mean, you guys know,
mm-hmm.
and they paved the way for a lot of people that are there now that maybe wouldn't necessarily have the confidence to do that.
Sure.
But they see like, okay, there's a way for me to do this now. And through groups like IFM, and there are a lot of organizations out there that are creating a lot of this. There's so many tools and things available for physicians now who want to, you know, come into functional medicine for them to be able to do that. And so I think the one thing that we see is that there's just a lot of practitioners in that arena. They're just, they want to get out of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We work with doctors that sort of have one foot in, you know, the emergency medicine.
Sure.
Or they're practicing in a hospital because it's their bread and butter.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it's security, right? You know, they've got families and things, but then, you know, a day or two a week, they're trying to build this thing over here so that maybe eventually, you know, they could transition out on their own. And so for us early on, and this was probably, you know, the early 2000s, we really saw that, hey, there are a lot of practitioners that want to do this. They just don't necessarily have the confidence and they don't know where to start. And, you know, it's scary, you know, and not only is it scary, but it's hard. The prospect of starting your own business,
yeah.
It's not just showing up and seeing patients anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to pay rent. You have staff to pay. You have turnover issues. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trying to market your practice and bring patients in the door, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, that's why not everybody just starts a business, right?
Right.
It's hard work, you know. Right. It's easier to just go work for somebody, show up, and, you know, people, okay, here we go.
Right.
And so, you know, I think there are enough providers that are wanting to do that. And so that's one of the areas that we've been focused on over the last really couple decades, is helping doctors who are in that space that want to make that transition. We're creating some things that allows them to make, you know, that transition easier.
Yeah.
I will say what you're saying resonates, is probably resonating with so many people who are currently listening, because sure, we've all been there. We all have that same feeling. And I resonate with what you're saying, because what we do here in medical affairs is we also help other doctors. And so I have that same kind of feeling of like, no, this is meaningful. And so I really like that. But you're talking about tools.
Yeah, it's a perfect segue, because, you know, one of the main ways in which you are supporting these clinicians, you know, in this transition is supplying them with some tools that they can use, like through the Lifestyle Matrix Resource Center, which is certainly a go-to for any clinician new to functional medicine. Can you tell us a little bit about LMRC, a little bit around its history and what it's evolved into?
Yeah. So, you know, as I was working with the company that I mentioned on the sales side, you know, we were doing mainly dietary supplements. And, you know, as we kind of were seeing the need for physicians to kind of move into this and make it easier for them to implement functional medicine, we really were looking at, okay, how could we develop some programs that we could create some educational content? We could create some processes and some systems for them to do education better, some things that actually could help educate them better. You know, a lot of practitioners, they love learning from other providers that maybe have some expertise in different areas. So, you know, going through case studies and protocols, you know, eating all of that stuff up. And so we had developed a program early on around stress. And, you know, that was a really kind of easy place to start, because, you know, if you guys remember James Wilson, he wrote that book, Adrenal Fatigue.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, everybody's like, hey, I got adrenal fatigue. Mm-hmm. I got adrenal fatigue. You know, and he really popularized that idea, mm-hmm, of, you know, stress and adrenal burnout and all of that stuff. And so, you know, for us, we were looking at a lot of the lab companies that were doing, you know, cortisol testing, and looking at these different hormones. There's a lot of, you know, wellness-based pharmacies that were doing a lot of bioidentical hormone like compounding. And so, and there was a lot of practitioners that were wanting to do stuff in that arena. They just didn't necessarily know, like, how do I do the testing? When I get the lab test back, what do I do with these patients? Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, you know, throw them some vitamin C, throw them some B vitamins, you know, maybe throw a glandular, but it's like, there's no real plan. And some of the other things around that is like, when you're talking stress, it's like, there's some big buckets that you really want to figure out what's going on with the patient. You know, how is their blood sugar? You know, how's their inflammation? Are they sleeping? And then, of course, you know, the mental emotional stressors. And that's kind of what we all think about when we think about stress, mm-hmm, right? It's like, you know, family, relationships, finances, you know, being on a podcast, all of those things kind of can elicit this stress response. But what patients don't necessarily make the connection is like, hey, I wake up in the morning, you know, I don't eat, my blood sugar tanks. And then, mm-hmm, what happens? You know, it's like, you know, it's like your alarm goes off and, you know, your body's like, well, we need blood sugar to the brain so that we can function. So it cranks out cortisol. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you go on these hypo to hyperglycemic curves all day. And that is a lifestyle element of stress that if patients understand what's going on, they can do something about it. Right. And so what we were really trying to do at that time was create a framework for the practitioner to think about, you know, how to assess patients that had stress-related issues, but then give them some tools to educate those patients, and then, you know, also, you know, give them some guidance on what kind of things they can use from a supplement standpoint, you know, and those kinds of things. But lifestyle being the underpinnings, right? Like, that's the basis for this. And so if a patient doesn't understand that their blood sugar or their inflammation is sort of central to why they can't handle their day-to-day mental, emotional stressors, then they're never going to get help. And throwing a vitamin at it or throwing some hormones at it, it's never going to get to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. And so that's really where it all started for us, was creating some structured programs to help practitioners educate, understanding the testing a little bit better, how to assess those labs, and then develop out some treatment plans and some educational tools that they could give to those patients so that they could not only understand what lifestyle changes they needed to make, but also have a plan, you know, to do that. So that's where it all got started. And then we started developing out all these other programs, you know, cardiometabolic and GI, because all these things are connected, right? I mean, it's not, we're not living in these silos, but, you know, in a lot of ways you have to start somewhere with the patient. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of like pick where you want to start and then, you know, expand out maybe into these other areas. So as a company, we had developed out a lot of resources around this. And then just being the nature of our business, as a dietary supplement company, we the FDA came and they basically said, hey, we don't like how you're providing education in the context of being a dietary supplement company, mm-hmm. and we don't want you to do this anymore.
Oof.
And so it was like,
surprise.
And, you know, and really, I mean, we had always told the line very conservatively with how we were doing things. There was a lot of other companies in our space that were doing far greater, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. more egregious things than educating patients, education.
Right.
But we just happened to be in a pretty strict district, and they just didn't like the context of the education and the nature of our business. So we had to really blow everything up at that point and decide, you know, what we were going to do. And so, you know, in 2012, we determined, you know, this is an area that we feel like we can make a big impact and we can leave a legacy as an organization to really help physicians in this channel. And if we want functional medicine, lifestyle medicine, integrative medicine, if we want that to be the operating system mm-hmm. for medicine, we have to be able to help providers do this. We have to help providers get confidence to kind of make the leap. Mm-hmm. And so because we were so far deep into this thing, we just said, you know what, we're going to reevaluate everything and we're going to bring this thing back at a much higher level, a higher scale. But we're going to have to run it as a separate entity. Mm-hmm. And so that's really where the Lifestyle Matrix Resource Center was born. And in 2014, we officially launched and we determined to bring back all of our programs and resources, but make it a lot more robust, make it a lot, you know, we did quite an upgrade on the textbooks that we were mm-hmm. writing and the in-practice guides we're creating and the tools, because ultimately, you know, this thing had to stand on its own. And mm-hmm. so that was really where, you know, things started to come together for us. And really the last 8 years has been just, it's just been a grind, you know, I mean, creating the content, you know, we have a lot of medical people on our team, you know, Dr. Tom Williams, who I think you mm-hmm. guys are going to have on the show, you know, he's a great teacher and a writer. Okay. And so, you know, a year to year and a half to develop those textbooks. And then our team is creating all the other content around the programs, you know, during that time frame. So we've just really, over the last 8 years, we've just been plugging away, developing out these programs and tools. And that sort of brings us up, you know, where we are to date.
Yeah. I have two things quickly on it, too. I mean, first, I would just say how incredibly impressed our entire team and company has been with the quality of the materials that you guys have created, including the books, the in-practice guides. You know, the idea that these things are going to be fully referenced and, like, you know, straight out of the literature analysis is just, it's fantastic. And I think we're aligned in that way. So we've always appreciated them. The other thing is, you know, having the ability to help clinicians translate some of this new information and difficult information into their patients with some of your other materials, I think is also just an incredible move and step and has just done a lot of great work. So long congratulations.
No, it's a huge congratulations. We have all of these resources in our department and we refer to them a lot. And we refer to Tom Williams because he's a genius. But on what you just said, Michael, many clinicians come out of these functional medicine conferences. I mean, Josiah, you've seen this a million times. They come out with tons of information. They're super stoked. They're excited. They want to get going, but they just don't know where to start. And so that's where what you're doing comes into play, because you've created all of these really specific resources over at the Lifestyle Matrix Resource Center. I was wondering if you can just talk about some of those specifically and how they might help some of these clinicians that are transitioning into functional medicine.
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I think, you know, the roadmaps, the standard roadmaps that Tom writes, you know, those are sort of the more the academic reference text, you know, creating the evidence base around, you know, the programs. You know, I can tell you just in my own experience, I have a couple of acquaintances that I've gotten to know recently that are, they're not in the functional medicine world. They're doctors in cardiology and other areas, and they're in allopathic medicine. But, you know, they've kind of gotten the bug for some of the, you know, they're recommending supplements, they're recommending things, you know, but, you know, they're not full blown into this. And, you know, it's interesting because some of them, I've sent them these textbooks and they're like, they're just blown away. They're like, man, this is unbelievable. Like, I had no idea. And there's no resource out like this that can really, like, when I look at this stuff, I'm like, wow, this is really well referenced. This is evidence based. Like, I can feel confident that, like, what I'm taking away from this and what I'm actually practicing and what I'm recommending these things, like, there's evidence behind. Like, there's no doubt there's evidence, you know, behind this. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why the textbooks have been, you know, IFM, they had their last update on their textbook was 2010. Mm. And part of the reason they never updated it was because they just didn't have the resources and the tools. And as a company, we do. We have the resources and we have the time and we have the ability to, you know, let Dr. Williams sit in a room for a year and read through papers and write and then, you know, put the book out.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, at the end of a road with all the kids.
So, you know, we have the resources to do that. So we're going to do that. And so I think, you know, that's an important piece of this, because again, if you're going to, it's kind of like the adrenal fatigue conversation, right? Like y'all talk about adrenal fatigue, but if you take that concept into the mainstream, they're going to just blow you up, because it's like adrenal fatigue doesn't exist. Show me the research. Mm-hmm. But if you talk about adrenal insufficiency, if you talk about HPA axis dysfunction, right? Like those are all things that, yeah, there's tons of research on that. So it's the language we use too, and how we present this information to drive credibility to move the thing forward the way that we need to. And so that was really important to us on that side. And that's always been important to us as a company, that we're creating, you know, evidence-based, you know, information that physicians can feel confident in going to and saying, you know what, I can plant my flag in this. This is great. I feel like I have a framework now to justify the utility of doing this or that or the other thing. So the roadmaps are really essential. But then down from that is the in-practice guides. And, you know, practitioners, they love the roadmaps, but you got to kind of want to nerd out, like, on the science and the physiology and the biochemistry.
Why are you looking at me, Michael?
and so... what we wanted to do is create something that was a little more like the cliff notes for the roadmap. So it was like, let's just, you know, we know practitioners really like reading through case studies, going through case studies, checking out, you know, protocols and like how to work with these patients. So in the in-practice guides, our clinical expert team, you know, we have people like Dr. Shilpa Saxena on our team. Mm-hmm. She oversees the cardiometabolic program. We have Dr. Elroy Vajdani for our immune foundations program. Mm-hmm. We have Dr. Kerry Jones, who oversees our SOS stress recovery program. So we're really trying to bring in influencers and people that are well-respected in this area, who have successful practices, who have a really solid knowledge base in these areas, and they are providing the case studies. Mm-hmm. They're pushing through, you know, how they went through with these different patients in their own practices and the outcomes of that. And we create video content for the provider so they can watch, you know, Dr. Saxena or whoever they're watching go through the case more in depth, but they can read the case too. So, you know, that was an area that we knew that practitioners wanted those kinds of resources. So the in-practice guide becomes more of a kind of a reference for case studies, protocols, how to do lab assessments, and those kinds of things. And then everything down from that is all patient-based education. So the patient handbooks, and we've got like 25 presentation pads on all sorts of topics like intestinal permeability, you know, and detoxification, and there's a Lyme one for the immune program and a mold one for, you know, the immune program. So there's all these different things that as providers are in the one-on-one with their patient, they can use these illustrative tools to educate the patient, teach them about some of the lifestyle things they should be thinking about. And then they can talk about specific nutrients. We don't endorse particular products, but we talk about nutrients and mechanisms so that the provider, if they want to put a patient on something, they can say, okay, this is why we want to have you on these things. And so, so that's really the scope of, you know, the program material. You've got your physician-based resources and the in-practice guide and the roadmap, and then everything else is more how the provider, like you were talking about, Patty, how the provider translates that information. You got all this knowledge now, so how do we actually translate it down to the patient? And that's where the patient education material come in. And for that matter, that's where the group visit toolkit comes in, because that's one of the sort of big resources that we provide in helping doctors who are transitioning to functional medicine that want to stay in insurance, but don't necessarily, it's like as you get busier and busier, it's like, okay, I need a better system to be able to educate these patients. And so group visits is a really nice way to do that. So, you know, that's one of the tools that we help physicians implement.
Yeah. And they're all so incredible. I mean, we're sort of geeking out on the roadmaps, but even the patient handouts, to your point earlier, Josiah, where, you know, doctors who are trying to get into this field, they're still learning how to keep an inventory or how to do QuickBooks or, you know, like they're so bogged down. Like, I would like to be able to create a marketing piece on intestinal permeability or a patient handout or something like that, but I won't do a very good job and I don't have the time.
It's so it's Josiah. Just,
yeah, exactly. Right. So it's incredibly useful. And so I'm also, I guess I'm learning that you guys have rolled out a new membership and subscription model to some of these resources. So can you tell us what that entails and what we can expect?
Yeah. So over the last couple of years, we have done over, so we have a team of consultants that do practice consultations with practitioners. And the whole idea with that is that, you know, when they come in, our goal is to really figure out like, hey, what are your goals as a practice? What are your needs? What are some of the big challenges you're up against right now? And, you know, whether we have the tool to help you or we can guide you somewhere else where we feel like you can get helped. That's kind of the goal with those consultations that we do. So in 2020, I myself did about 500 of those. And then we brought on a guy, Patrick, who started with us about a year and a half ago. And over that time, he's done about 500 consults. And we're building that team. But the idea is that, you know, we've just found that practitioners, they don't, a lot of times they just don't have people to bounce stuff off of and just talk about stuff. And what are my problems? And like, can you listen to me? And maybe you have some ideas of how you help me. And so, you know, and there's no strings attached. It's like, hey, we want to help you. And if we've got some things that we can help guide you into, that's the goal. If not, we'll help you in whatever way that we can. But we did about 1,000 calls over those 2 years. And so one of the things that we found was obviously during COVID, all of our paper-based resources were great, but when you're doing virtual visits, they're not super helpful.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, virtual visits kind of probably accelerated 10 years with COVID. And so now there's a lot of practices doing that. And so they're looking for digital access to the resources that we have and how they can deliver them through, you know, this type of a platform with Zoom and things like that. So that was one element. The other element of our discussion was, you know, a lot of practitioners, they don't know how to market themselves. You know, it's just not an area that they, it's not even really a fun area for them to focus on. They want to see patients and help patients. That's where they can make the best impact. But if you're just starting out, you can't help patients if you don't have them. And so, you know, you have to start doing something that's going to attract the type of patient that you can best help. And so with our membership, what we've done is we've built out what we're calling our marketing plans. And each quarter, our team, our clinical team, combined with our marketing team, are developing out a webinar slide deck that we're creating for the practitioner that they can use as a way to kind of, you know, put it out there that, hey, you know, come check my webinar out or my online seminar that I'm going to be doing on hypertension or Hashimoto's or, you know, sleep or anxiety, you know, these different topics that they can try to attract patients that they want to bring into their practice. And so these presentation slide decks are fully customizable. You know, we encourage them to brand them their own, but the idea is that it's done for them and they can put their 90% of it's there. They can put their 10% personal touch to it and really make it their own. But we give them ideas on what kind of call to action that they want to do. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we teach them in the modules that we offer is, you know, how to set up their program webpage. And then one of the things we provide with all of our programs is a questionnaire. And we teach the provider to digitize that questionnaire and put it on their website as a lead generator. Mm-hmm. So drive people to the website, get that quiz filled out, and then set up a discovery call to go over the results of that quiz and then take the next step. Because the idea is, the science behind marketing in general is that people need to hear things at least 10 times before they're ready to make a decision. And so how can the provider connect with people, you know, over a period of time to nurture them into them like, okay, I'm ready to make a decision. Like, I like this doctor. I'm really feeling what they're telling me. The information they provided in their webinar is great. Their emails, their social media, I'm really jiving with them. Like, I want to take the next step. And so we've created email campaigns for each of the marketing plans. So it's content that's ready to go. It's built into a software with going out on day zero, day 15, day 28, day zero, six, you know, eight, 10. It's all built out for them and they can go tweak it to what they want. But then when they want to promote their webinar, they just load their list up into it that they want to promote it to and they send it out. And it could be like, you know, for a provider that has inactive patients they haven't seen in 3 or 4 years, maybe that's a great way to reactivate, you know, mm-hmm. those patients back in into the practice. Or, you know, through social media, if they've got a lot of followers, you know, they can promote it through that. So we've created the emails, we've created the social media copy and the images for them. We have created a blog post for each of our marketing plans. So all of that's kind of plug and play for them. And then we really will work with them to create a 90-day plan for implementation. And we're really just, you know, it's just ripping the Band-Aid off. Mm-hmm. You know, like some of the providers have never done anything like this. It's probably not going to be that great the first time they do it. And we tell them that. Mm-hmm. But just rip the Band-Aid off, do your first one, we'll help you get there. And then after that, it'll be easier. And so we start out with 12 of these marketing plans with all these different topics that they can plug in into right away. But then each quarter, our team will deliver a new marketing plan in the portal for them. So that'll just build a library over time for them. And when they decide, and you know, maybe once a quarter they want to do one, you know, mm-hmm. or twice mm-hmm. a year they want to do one, they just know they can go in there, access that content, deploy it, and then our team will help them, you know, through that process.
Okay, so
that's awesome.
You know what I just
that's
heard
incredible.
There, Michael Chapman? You know what I just heard? The Lifestyle Matrix Resource Center is basically your answer if you're a doctor trying to get into functional medicine, not only with educational materials, but also the practical thing of marketing and sales. And so this is something that's been missing in our space.
You know
this
what
is
I
amazing.
Heard there? Because I think that tidbit around it takes somebody, you have to hear it 10 times,
yeah.
which
yeah.
I guess I never really thought about mm-hmm. that. And I should have, because it's like with a 6-year-old, it takes at least 50 times for them to hear it before they decide on something. So it's just, that's a good tip too. I've
right.
not thought about it that way.
Right, right. All amazing, yeah, all amazing resources.
Yeah, and you know, again, these aren't concepts that are necessarily natural for practitioners. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they don't even want to deal with it, right?
Right.
Yeah. But at least if they have the content, they don't have to put it together, they don't have to write it, you know, and we can help guide them through that process. Our goal is to make it a lot of fun for them and actually make it enjoyable so that mm-hmm. they do want to do it, because it yeah. can be fun if it's done right. When you have to think about all the stuff that you need to do and all the content and mm-hmm. all, and then it becomes overwhelming. It's like, forget it. Yeah. So our goal is to help make it easy and make it fun for them to do that.
Where do they go to sign up?
Yeah. So lifestylematrix.com is the website.
Great.
And, you know, it's, options there for the different membership tiers. And I would really encourage anybody that has any interest in exploring this. Throughout the website, you can schedule a concierge call with our team. And I would just, you can schedule it right there on the website. And I would recommend doing that, talking to our team, giving them a rundown of your practice and what your goals are and needs are. And then we can help you sort of establish a next best step for yourself based on that conversation.
Amazing. Awesome. Amazing. Well, Josiah Bartz, as per usual, always a blast. Yeah. Always a blast seeing you and talking to you.
Oh my goodness.
And this is a ridiculous amount of great information for any clinician out there, anyone who's trying to transition. Go to lifestylematrix.com, sign up. But before we let you go, we do have one last question that I'm going to kick to Michael Chapman.
Yeah, so we have a standard silly question in the vein of so many other podcasts that were, I guess, maybe not so original. But the way this is called the fireball question, and I'm going to resurrect an oldie but a goodie that I think maybe James Mask will close the category on, but it's going to be, what is your favorite well, first, do you like sandwiches? And then two, if you do, what's your favorite type of sandwich?
I really like sandwiches. I will tell you, my wife during COVID, it was hard because I was at home, you know, and my wife would just deliver me food all day long. I was just sitting there and just on the computer. I never had to leave. And she would always make me sandwiches for lunch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have this love-hate relationship with sandwiches because I don't do well with, you know, carbs in general, you know, and so, but I, you know, I love a good sandwich. So sure. I would say either a turkey sandwich with bacon or just a nice BLT.
Oh, nice. You know, the classics.
Those are probably, you know, my two.
The BLT, I mean, it's indestructible,
you know,
I think.
Josiah just goes with the classics. I love it. Yeah. I love it. That's good stuff. Well, Josiah Bartz, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and hopefully we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Josiah.
Yeah, great chatting with you guys.
I got to get me one of those subscriptions.
Right?
Like, sounds like a good deal.
It sounds like everything you need is at the Lifestyle Matrix Resource Center. I mean, as far as not only like clinical content and stuff for patient education, but also marketing.
No doubt. Because, I mean, you know, when I'm seeing patients and whatnot, I would want those tools for a couple reasons. One, I don't have the time because of all the other stuff that's going on, the kids and all that. And plus, you've seen what I do with Microsoft Paint. I mean, it ain't pretty.
It's not.
It is not good.
It is not. But the other pieces they show how to scale it up with the group consult toolkits and things like that. Yeah. So there's just so much there.
Yeah, and you can totally rely on their information. I mean, we, like you said, we go through it all the time. We use it all the time. It's the majority of the content for this podcast, to tell you the truth. I mean, we just pull it right from those books because they're fully referenced and we don't want to do our own work. I mean, we should be having him on a retainer or something, I'm sure. But
that's sad.
Tell you what, Josiah, turkey sando on us. Send you a gift card.
Sando.
Next time on The Lab Report, we're going to be at the Metabolic Health Summit.
Taking this show on the road to California.
Santa Barbara.
Here we come.
You've been listening to The Lab Report. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and leave us a review. To learn more about Genova Diagnostics, visit our website at gdx.net. There you'll find information on specific testing, educational resources, and how to connect with our show. Call us at 1-800-522-4762 or email us at podcast@gdx.net.
Speaking of Harry Potter, you've never seen Harry Potter.
Never read it.
You should
never
watch
saw it.
You should watch it.
I don't have time for that.
What do you mean?
I spend every moment outside of here following the Johnny Depp trial.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's my job.
I know you do. I know. I've only seen that one part where the lawyer, I guess, he objects to his own witness.
Yep. You're missing out.